The off season is officially over. Talking season at that is even now officially over. It's time for training camp. Ohio State kicks off its 2024 campaign with training camp inside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, maybe outside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on Thursday. Letterman Rowe is here to talk about it. Andy Backstrom, middle of your screen. Tim May, other side of your screen. You already know that by now. He's the 41-year vet. And then there's me, Spencer Holbrook. Fellows, it's finally here. We can finally shut up about this team. Be honest with both of you.
Wait a minute. We can shut up about this team. So we're gonna be mimes here.
I mean, I went to Big Ten Media Days knowing that we weren't gonna learn a lot, just because like we've talked about so many things and there's not a lot of position battles, and like you get to a couple stories into writing about Big Ten Media Days and people asking questions, and it's a lot of the same questions, and then you're writing a lot of the same stuff you wrote in the spring. And I'm just ready to see this team in action, Tim. What are you most looking forward to? If I give you, you only get one, Tim. What are you most looking forward to seeing from this team on day one of training camp on Thursday?
Well, it's interesting that you said we didn't, you know, because of media days, we didn't learn much. But what we learned was Carson Hisman is on Ryan Day's mind big time as the right guard. I think that's, you know, went into spring wanting to know who the right guard was going to be. Came out of spring with just hints thrown out there about who the right guard's going to be. Because I really think I think that's a good call. We've talked about that in our preseason warm-up sessions on here on Letterman Row and on 3.com. We've talked about that spot, how important that spot is. I think they're going to have a really good offensive line no matter which one of the three primary candidates play there. But Carson Hinsman seemingly being on Ryan Day as the number one guy, I'm just, you know, putting two and two together and coming up with 14. That makes a lot of sense. So I'm very interested to see, but as Andy Backstrom has pointed out many times, you know, the way they did that shuttle work, I think it was last preseason camp and in the spring, right, where they were sending guys to different fields just to get more reps in, it may be hard to keep up with the first couple of days of preseason camp what truly is the number one starting offensive line. But I do believe Carson Hinsman will be in that mix at right guard.
Andy, what are you looking forward to seeing? There's a lot of storylines, obviously. You know, Tim takes the Carson Hinsman, the right guard, talking point there. What are you looking forward to seeing, I guess, aside from that?
Will Howard throwing the football. You know, we saw it in spring ball, but a lot of the talk was he's new to the system, you know, having to learn the ropes of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Okay, well, now he's been here a long time. He's been here since January. That's several months within the program. You know, towards the end of spring, it felt like he was more comfortable. He talked about being more comfortable. It seems like he's taken a step forward in a leadership position. What does he look like actually throwing the football? And yeah, as Tim mentioned, there'll be some split field work, so maybe he won't always be working with that first team offensive line, but maybe that shows some of the gamer-like ability that he has outside the pocket and, you know, making things happen. I'm really curious to watch him play because there's been a lot of talk about him, some doubt about him, but a lot of good talk about Will Howard. I want to see it in action starting in training camp coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go to the other side of the ball with the defense. I'm looking forward to seeing this linebacker unit. So every spring we talk about CJ Hicks and how he could be an impact player. And then by the time we get to training camp, it just seems like not the wheels fall off, but he just kind of loses a little bit of that steam. And you've went into the last two seasons and he hasn't really been able to have an impact. Well, I asked Ryan Day specifically about that. And he said that they've seen some more consistency from him, but they still need to see more consistency from him. And I think getting off to a good start in spring in training camp this month is going to be huge for CJ Hicks. So I'm going to go with the linebacker room. I think that room needs to have a good first couple days, set the tone, because Ohio State was brilliant against the pass last year. They were 29th against the run. And we thought of them as a pretty good run defense team. I think they gave up 115 yards a game or 113 yards a game on the ground. I don't have the exact number, but I think they need to take another step forward against the run. And that doesn't just start with the defensive line. You've got to have really good linebacker play. This is the most athletic linebacker group they've had since 2019 when they had Baron Browning, Pete Werner, Justin Hilliard, Malik Harrison. But like, I don't know if this is the best linebacker unit. And I think it can be one of the best, but they've got to have a good start to training camp. So I'm going to have my eyes kind of locked in on that linebacker room to see what that looks like in these first couple of days with James Laurinaitis setting the tone. And then, you know, they can go from there and try to build some momentum as they replace two starters. Tim, Is there a second thing? I guess I'll give you a second one now, Tim.
Of course there is.
Yeah,
I'm interested when they put three wide receivers, maybe even just two wide receivers, but three wide receivers on the field, who those three are to begin preseason camp. You know, and let's remind everybody, the start of preseason camp, guys are not in full pads. They're in helmets. They're not in full pads. You know, it's not real football until basically the second week of preseason camp when they get to go to full pads and really hit and things like that. Not, even though they don't do much of that anymore. But is Jeremiah Smith in that group? And, yeah, we're taking the low-hanging fruit here to a certain extent. I don't mind doing that because I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be a fellow to watch, as Chris Carter said, from the first game, maybe first snap on. Chris Carter, the best wide receiver I ever saw at Ohio State. And he said that on my Tim May show, by the way. But the bottom line is, I'm curious to see if over the last couple of months, the coaches have come to the realization that he is one of the top three players in that wide receiver room, as you well know, because Ryan Day refused to really talk about him in Indianapolis, and with a grin on his face, right? So, yeah, I'm curious to see from the get-go where he fits in.
Andy, you can stay in the wide receiver room, I suppose. If Tim didn't mention Jeremiah, I was going to, because the depth there is one of the big things that I'll be looking forward to. But
yeah.
Do you have a second one, Andy? Is there something else that you're looking forward to, or have we covered all the ground that we need to here? I think there's a few more.
There's like 50 more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's go.
For the tight end room doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion. It's not just like who's tight end one, because it could be G. Scott, it could be Will Kaczmarek, it could be Jelani Thurman, who knows? It's more for me, how are they using tight ends? You know, we talked about Chip Kelly coming in, being the innovator with the run game. Part of that's the tight end personnel. Are we going to see a ton of 12 personnel? Are we going to see 13 personnel, maybe even some 14 personnel? Like, how many tight ends are they using on the field at once? I think that is a sign of how much development Keenan Bailey's had with this group. It's a bit of a new look group. Bennett Christian's in there, didn't get to play last year because of the suspension. Now he's back. How does he kind of fit into that mold? Is Patrick Gerg going to play that fullback tight end hybrid role? We don't really focus on that group that much now that Cade Stover's gone from a receiving standpoint, but from a blocking standpoint, I'm fascinated how these tight ends are used and what kind of groupings we see even on day one.
I think that's a good one. You just took another one of mine. So now, you know, on the fly here, I've got to come up with, you know,
wait a minute. Let me tell you something real quick. You're the moderator. You can go first every time if you want.
Yeah, but that just seems unfair because then I leave you two at a disadvantage, and I like you two. So I'll go ahead and let you guys have the floor. I'm going to go back over to the defense. You guys seem to just love this Ohio State offense, so I'm going to go back to defense again and talk about Jermaine Matthews. Is this a guy who's going to make this a three-man rotation on the outside, or will he be able to fill the I guess, a void, if you will, that Sonny Styles leaves in the safety room as, like, the other nickel? Because Jordan Hancock didn't play every snap at nickel last year. I think sometimes we forget that because Sonny Styles played a lot of nickel last year. Well, Jordan Hancock can't play, you know, 700 snaps, 800 snaps for Ohio State this year. So is Jordan Hancock going to stay as the only nickel there that they really trust and then have the backup nickel be a safety, maybe a Lorenzo Styles Jr. or a – you know, one of the other safeties, Keenan Nelson Jr., or does Jermaine Matthews slide in and play that slot corner role, get him on the field in that capacity? Those are things that I want to know. It's not depth chart. It's not starting rotations. It's more like, where does this ultra-talented guy fit in? Because he needs to be on the field at least some. And so I want to know how Ohio State plans to incorporate him into that. I guess that's kind of an extension from the linebacker room, because you only play two linebackers and you've got three that I know they want to play. So, like, I guess it's more of like the positional groupings and formational groupings. How does Ohio State keep these guys involved? This is such a talented defense. Jermaine Matthews has to play. So how do you use him? Do you let him rotate in that three-man corner room while pulling off one of Davis and Igbinosin or Denzel Burke at any given moment? Because you don't want to do that. Or do you let him kind of rotate with Jordan Hancock, but you don't want to take Jordan Hancock off the field? So it's – great problem to have, but it still is a problem.
Well, I think one of the things you do is they have declared they're going to play a lot of people, especially as the season starts, those first three games, all non-league games, they're going to play a lot of people, which means not just Jermaine Matthews, but I expect to see a couple other corners jumping in there. You know, not the least of which is my man Calvin Simpson Hunt from Waxahachie, Texas. Maybe one of those young freshmen like Aaron Scott right on down the line. I think you're going to see Jermaine Matthews rotate into the lineup at a corner spot often as the season starts, and then see how it goes. But he is a valuable commodity, a fella who I think y'all agree with me on this. He could start at Ohio State if he had to, if you follow my drift, but he could start a lot of places, in my opinion. He's that talented, but he wants to be part of maybe one of the great teams in Ohio State football history. So he's at Ohio State. And I think they're going to – that player rotation at all positions, including corner, is going to be interesting to watch as this season develops. If, in fact, they do develop depth that they feel like can really help them when they go against like opponents, like against Iowa, and then definitely an upgrade against Oregon, and then Nebraska, and then Penn State game on the road. I think that's going to be part and parcel to really what we're going to be talking about this team in late January, about how it turned out. How did it develop and play that depth? And Jermaine Matthews is an optimum example of that. That's not the right use of the word optimum. Yeah, kind of it is.
Yeah, sure, Tim. We can make up words. I'm the moderator, so if I say we can,
A made up word. It's just, was it used correctly?
Oh, there you go. Okay, we'll talk about the semantics later. Andy, anything else? We're going to go, I guess, around 2.5 times. I'll give you another one here, Andy.
A defensive tackle position. You know, who's the third guy? So we know that Ty Hamilton and Tyleek Williams are going to be the two guys in the middle there. But who's the third one stepping up? Of course, last year Mike Hall was one of those three. Now he's with the Cleveland Browns, being a second round pick there. So, you know, who's the next guy to step up? Jason Moore, we heard great things about in spring ball, and he's a second year player that didn't have a full offseason last year, but seems to have really just taken that next step forward. That's what Larry Johnson says. So is he that next guy? Is it Hero Canoe? Is it Taiwan Malone, who we've, you know, sometimes forget about in the conversation, but still there and seems to have developed a little bit this offseason? You know, is it Caden McDonald? There's so many options that you can kind of go through the list. And then, by the way, Edric Houston, I know he's a defensive end, but where does he factor in with this rotation? So as far as the depth goes, you can talk about corner all you want, and there's certainly a lot of depth there, but the same thing goes for this defensive line. And just to Tim's point, like, how are they going to navigate that with the rotations? I do think it's interesting. Last year, there was a ton of talk about rotating guys, but they really didn't get to do it at the beginning of the season. I think part of that was the schedule. You start the game against Indiana and things kind of get out of whack pretty quickly as far as a closer game that you might have expected. I think the schedule opened things up really easily this time around to get those rotations going, to play your depth early this season. And plus maybe an offense that will score a little bit more to give you that flexibility.
I would agree with that. I think I had to do a lot with the offense last year. Just didn't play very well in the beginning of the season, really at all during the season. Up to the Ohio State standard, and so that depth thing.
That's why the starting quarterback is from last year is at Syracuse now.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Howard is at Ohio State along with Devin Brown. You're exactly right. The head coach wants more production, and out of the gate he wants more production. Go ahead now.
Yeah, because it affects more than just the offense, right? Like, last year, it affected everything. JT and Jack were on the field too much at the beginning of the season. Then they didn't get into the rotation. They didn't let the younger guys play on the defensive line. So there was no trust built up there. There was no callus built there for the younger guys. And so then by the end of the year, they're playing every snap because they didn't trust the guys that they didn't get to play in the beginning of the season. And that's because the offense wasn't good enough to get them into blowouts. And like it just had a cascade effect. I think you'll see the opposite this year. It's a great point, Andy. I'm going to take us in a new direction here. I'm going to go first too, because thanks Tim for giving me the bright idea to just go first and stick with you guys a little. I'm going to ask you guys which coach you're really zeroing in on and talking or trying to focus on.
Oh no, you're going to take the definite low hanging fruit. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to take Justin Fry, but not because of the right guard position.
Okay.
Because of the right guard position, because I have heard all offseason from everybody, you know, not trying to brag or anything. Letterman Row feels like it's pretty sourced up, well-sourced. I've heard fantastic things about Josh Simmons' offseason. Oh, he's down weight. He feels more athletic. He looks looser. He looks like an NFL-level tackle now. Maybe somebody who could surprise and go very early in the NFL draft. Oh, my gosh, you should see what Josh Fryer has done this offseason. Well, show me, okay? It's time to show me. You've worked really hard in the weight room. I believe it. I saw it in the spring. They looked like better players. The summer workouts, I've heard great things from both of those tackles. It's time to show it. Because one thing to say that you've improved, it's another thing to actually improve. And I think Josh Fryer and Josh Simmons have a lot to prove that they've improved this summer. And that goes into Justin Fry, the development of the offensive line, the future of the room. Do they trust Justin Fry to develop guys for the future? Because this is a big year, almost a make or break year for that offensive line after struggling last year. Like, I think he's under the microscope, and I'm going to put him under the microscope, not just because of trying to get right guard correct, but correcting Seth McLaughlin's center issues from last year at Alabama with the snapping, and getting the tackles right, and making sure that those guys have improved the way that we expect them to in year two. So just two things that I'm kind of keeping my eye on there.
So to sum up what you said, the proof will be in the pudding is what you're trying to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the one I'm interested in, and it's more of a, like, I love offensive football. I like defensive football for that matter, but I love offensive football. Ohio State has in place one of the great minds when it comes to designing, scheming, whatever ing you want to put in there, calling, as in calling plays, in my opinion, in Chip Kelly. And the reason I'm saying that is what intrigues me most about him is the way he mixes the run and the pass. You can't claim he is one thing or the other. The great thing about that is it's hard to predict what's coming from one play or the other, both in the running game and the passing game, and whether it's going to be a pass or a run. That's what stands out to me most about him. And he may disagree with me because he did coach in the NFL for a couple of years. So that would put at least an asterisk by what I'm going to say, but this is the best collection of talent from stem to stern he's had on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion, in his coaching career. That includes where he rose to fame at Oregon. That includes definitely at UCLA these last few years. So I am very intrigued to see what he does with the talent that's available to him. And like Ryan Day pointed out, and even Chip Kelly's pointed out several times, what you do is you first figure out what you've got available to you in that offensive meeting room in terms of talent, and then you exploit it. Well, there's a lot to exploit there, from the running back room to the wide receiver room to even tight end. I do believe G. Scott is on a plane to have a big-time year this year, especially in the pass-catching area of things. So just the way they will be able to stretch not just the field from a defensive standpoint looking at it, but stretch a defense's mind, meaning what's coming next. That's what's got me fired up about watching this team this year.
Andy?
I had a couple of options I was kind of juggling, but I'm going to go with Carlos Lachlan because he's got a lot of pressure, guys. I mean, he's working with four scholarship running backs. You got to last over the course of maybe a 17-game season, and that's a really hard thing to do. Injuries have kind of beat up this running back room the last couple of years, and hopefully Ohio State stays healthy this year. You're always hoping for a healthy team and a healthy season, but just the fact of the matter is that position takes a beating, and then to top it all off, how are you managing the workload between Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson? Those are two pretty big mouths to feed. And I know that they're okay with the balance of working one and two, a tandem effort there. But, they're guys that want to play at the next level. They want to showcase their talent, their ability. How are they being used? Are we seeing two running back sets a lot with Chip Kelly in this offensive scheme? Are we seeing more of just an alternate, one goes, then the next goes? Is it riding the hot hand? How is he going to manage that rotation? Because it's going to be up to Carlo. He's going to be the one pulling guys in, pulling guys out. And then what does he do to develop the freshmen who need to play right away? James Peoples and Sam Williams Dixon, like, they have to be ready at the end of this month. And will they be? That's going to be on Carlos Lachlan. So, and then he's got to find someone else. Who's running back five now that T.C. Caffey's out for the year? So you got to find fifth running back, whether that's the walk-on Chase Brecht, who's, I just checked the roster again yesterday, guys, that's the only other running back listed on the roster, or are you using some other wide receiver or a defensive back that can play running back? I'm not even talking about Caleb Downs, just like someone, a walk-on that can be used just in the room. I'm curious to see, really, on Thursday, tomorrow, like, what does that look like? Who is in the running back rotation besides those four scholarship guys?
Yeah, I would assume that that's You know, an Emeka Buka and Brandon Ennis. No, Tim, I'm not talking about Caleb Downs again. It's dumb.
Hey, a mime is a terrible thing to waste. Go ahead now.
I think it's dumb. So I'm not going to
add fuel to that. Dumb at all.
I'm not adding fuel to the fire. You guys can talk about it if you'd like, but
when the head coach talks about it, why wouldn't we talk about it?
Because he tamped it down once he was asked about it 2 weeks or a month later at Big Ten Media Days. But that's
not really. No, he didn't say he was going to go out there and carry 30 times a game, but they're very interested in it. Go ahead now.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm going to guess that would be a Brandon Ennis and a Emeka Ibuka. We've seen Chip Kelly in 2021 and beyond at UCLA hand the ball off to wide receivers in creative ways, get his playmakers the ball. That is the perfect role, in my opinion, for a guy like Emeka Ibuka, like Brandon Ennis in a new look offense. Like, they handed the ball to Emeka Ibuka last year.
Aren't you afraid of him getting hurt?
All right, that's a bad faith argument, Tim.
He's been banged. That's my point. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver depth, though, is kind of a concern. I mean, they're top heavy at the position. I'm just wondering, like, in practice, like, you're not going to have Emeka or Brandon, like, in that group there. I agree, Spencer. Break glass, cage of emergency, those guys could carry the football for you. I'm just wondering who they're pulling out. You know, like, even Will Hartson was on the team last year, and he, you know, went to the portal and ended up somewhere else this offseason. Like, that was another walk-on guy you had there. Like, who else is in the mix? That's really what I'm talking about. Like, I'm really curious to see a jersey number that maybe we haven't caught before. Maybe it's like Sean Ludge, I think, is a transfer wide receiver return man from Presbyterian College. Like, do they move him over to running back? I know this is super niche and specific, but, like, I'm interested in it because we've seen this running back room. Like, Chip Traynham, no one thought he was going to have to run the football for Ohio State, and he did. So I think these are just things to think about this time of year.
Hey, no reason I'm being facetious there, but I'm not. I mean, Brandon Ennis missed most of spring football because he was banged up, you know, still getting over things. Emeka Ibuka was banged up last year, you know, playing his position. That's my point. I mean, everybody makes the argument that you don't use Caleb Downs because you would be afraid he'd get hurt. Well, then you wouldn't put him at safety either, you know? I mean – football is football. I don't believe you overuse him. That's only the fact that Ryan Day brought him up on his own in June, and he didn't say he wasn't going to do anything a week ago. I'm talking about Caleb Downs wasn't going to do anything on offense a week ago when he was in Indianapolis. That just tells me. I mean, they have him as a contingency. I'm not going to call him necessarily an emergency guy because I do believe we're going to see him touch the ball on offense. It's too bad they're doing away with prop bets, you know, for college football, because the over-under on him touching the ball offensively, like in the opener, I would put it at least one, and I would jump on the over.
Against Akron?
Yeah. Get him out there. Get him fired up. Well, if he goes against your own defense in practice, why not do it against Akron?
All right. I will go into this, but I'm also the moderator, so I get the last word on it. You have multiple guys who can carry the ball at a level that Caleb Downs can on your offense.
Really?
That are capable of it. Emeka Ibuka, Brandon Ennis, Bryson Rogers, Jaden Ballard, hand them the football before you hand Caleb Downs the ball, because none of them can play safety. Yes, Caleb Downs can play running back.
That's a plausible argument.
And he can play safety. There are no guys that you can switch positions and let them play safety without taking a hit on the defense. Because if you take Sonny Styles out of the linebacker room because you hurt Caleb Downs running the football, then all of a sudden your linebacker room takes a hit. Whereas if you just leave him at safety and let the other guys play offense like they were recruited to do, then you don't have to worry about that. But anyway, we'll probably do another video on this.
You heard my feelings, man.
Somebody's going to ask Ryan Day about it on Thursday. So we'll probably We'll probably have to talk about this on Thursday after Ryan Day speaks. Whatever. We will. And
Wouldn't it be something like in the spring game, they send the robust tee out there. They go to the robust tee. Wouldn't it be something to first play in practice? There's Caleb Downs, flanker, or Caleb Downs in the Ted Ginn slot, as I call it, the shotgun. Wouldn't that be funny?
I don't think it'd be funny, but sure.
I think if I was a coach, I would be doing that just to make the defensive coordinators across the country and around the world have to get ready for something like that.
I don't know if anybody can tell, but we're a little excited for training camp to start. All the offseason storylines all of the returnees, all of the, you know, transfer additions, that can, that all can just become talk and off-season fodder and can get put in the rearview mirror, because starting tomorrow on Thursday, we will have real, live and in-person Ohio State football to talk about. Now, that's a heavy thing to do, but Letterman Row tries to do it the best of anybody who does it, and we're going to continue to do that over at lettermanrow.com. The 41-year vet, Tim May, he's going to be all over at training camp tomorrow. Andy Backstrom is going to be all over at training camp tomorrow. Me, Spencer Holbrook, all over it at training camp tomorrow. We'll have a couple guys out there scouting it out as well. Matt Parker and Mick Walker will be in the building. You got those guys and Alex Gleitman over on the recruiting side. You've got us three, you know, arguing and talking about the football here on the Letterman Row YouTube channel. And then we're writing about it at lettermanrow.com. But we're going to get out of here, get back to lettermanrow.com, and get to Ohio State training camp on Thursday morning. Andy Backstrom in the middle of your screen. Tim May on the other side of your screen. I'm Jess Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on Thursday, aka tomorrow, for the first day of Ohio State training camp.